The following message is from New Life Gillette series, Everyone's Welcome, Nobody's Perfect, People Change. This week, Pastor Mike brings part two of this series.
Well, good morning. Welcome. We are in week two of a series called Everybody's Welcome, Nobody's Perfect, People Change. So let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, and to those of you who are here in the room. I lied to you last week. I said we were going to go backwards because last week we talked about people change, and I said we were going to work our way in reverse order. God kind of shook some things up in my brain this morning, and I feel like I wanted to change a little bit up about what I was going to say, so we're changing the order. Today we're actually going to do everybody's welcome, which means that everybody is welcome. How do we say it at New Life? Come as you are. Come as you are. This is a come as you are message. And in order to preach this message, I want to talk about an animal, a very specific animal. This animal is the dumbest animal on planet Earth. Can you guess? No, not cats. Today we're going to talk about sheep. And the Bible talks about sheep a lot. The Bible talks about cattle 131 times. The Bible talks about dogs 41 times. The Bible talks about, and that's on a negative light, and then it talks about eagles in a positive light, 26 times. And the Bible talks about cats 0 times. Do you know why? Because cats were a mistake. God regrets them, just so you know. But the Bible talks about sheep over 500 times. Why does the Bible talk about sheep over 500 times and cats 0 times? Because we are like sheep, not like cats. We are like sheep. It's important that we understand what sheep are like because the Bible says we are like sheep. I read online this week that scientists actually dissect the brains of sheep, and this is how they train medical students about human brain, is they dissect sheep brains because they are a more simplified version of the human brain, and they can kind of figure out things about the human brain by dissecting sheep brains. And one thing that we know by watching sheep in just normal everyday life is that sheep need a shepherd. Other kinds of animals don't need shepherds. There are wild dogs. They do just fine on their own without a shepherd. There are wild horses. There are wild turkey. There are even wild cats. But sheep cannot survive on their own. And we are just like sheep. We need a shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the sins of us all. We're going to talk more about what it means for Jesus to be our shepherd. I read in the USA Today, if it looks weird that I'm sitting down in a chair, it's because hip pastors sit in chairs, and I'm going to try that out today. See how it goes. If I can be hip or not. So far, it doesn't feel like it. Okay, I read in the USA Today that in 2005 in Turkey, there was a flock of sheep being watched by a shepherd. And while the shepherd's watching, it was a very, very, very large flock of sheep, 1,500 of them. And while the shepherd was watching the sheep, he got hungry. And he decided he would go down this hill that he had the sheep up on, and he was going to go down into the town and get some food to eat. And when he went down into the town, he probably just thought, you know, what's the worst that can happen? They're in a field. I mean, I can leave my sheep for just a little bit of time. But soon after he went into the town, one of those sheep decided to walk off a cliff. True story. The sheep decides to walk off of the cliff, and the sheep fell to its death. What does sheep do? Sheep follow. So another sheep saw this sheep and was like, cool, skydiving. And he followed the first sheep, and he walked off the cliff and fell to his death. And the third sheep, you would assume the third sheep would think, you know, those first two sheep went over the cliff, but they never came back. Maybe I should consider not jumping off the cliff. But no, sheep follow. So the third sheep followed off the cliff. 1,500 sheep watched one sheep walk off a cliff and 1,500 of them followed right behind. But not all 1,500 of the sheep died. Only the first 450 sheep died. Can you guess why? Because sheep are cushiony. They're made of wool. They made a nice little cotton pillow at the bottom of this ravine for the other 1,050 sheep or whatever, I can't do math, and saved their lives. They laid down their own lives for the other sheep, apparently, in this analogy. Now, this is how humans live our lives. We look at the way people do things. We look at the way culture does things. This is just kind of the habits that have been passed down to us. Oh, everybody else is living no margin lives. We're all busy out of our minds with no margin, and we all just give into whatever temptation we want. We all watch whatever we want and do whatever we want. This is just how we do. This is how society does things. So we'll just continue doing that. And we allow the norm to instruct us about what's okay and what's not okay. Whenever society starts telling you that there is no God, this is what they're telling you. There are no more absolutes. When society tells you there's no God, what they're telling you is there's no standard. Just go with the flow. Just follow the group. Let me tell you, this doesn't work. What ends up happening is all the sheep end up walking off a cliff together. We need a standard. And God gave us that standard. We are tempted to be like sheep, but we have an option. We can follow the shepherd, and the shepherd will not lead us off a cliff. And when Jesus came to earth, his heart was broken when he saw the way the people had decided to live as sheep without a shepherd. And he says, this is a story about Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. People are sheep. People need a shepherd. So we ask ourselves, who are we following? Who is our shepherd? If we're not following anybody, we're walking into destruction. But if we follow the wrong person, we are also walking into destruction. When we talk about sheep, there is one passage in the Bible that just kind of stands out. It's recorded in the book of John, and it goes like this. And we're going to spend some time here today. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. Remember last week we talked about this idea that we need somebody, if we're ever going to change, we need somebody to open up the gate for us, to let us free from the cage that we find ourselves in, to set us free. We need somebody to open the gate. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the gatekeeper. The door has been opened. The gate has been opened for us. And the sheep recognize his voice, the gatekeeper, and come to him, Jesus. He calls his own sheep. Now, this is important. He calls his own sheep by name. When you bought your first dog or somebody gave you your first dog, did you call it Dog? Maybe for the first day before you had a relationship with it, maybe you called it Dog. Or when you were dealing with some stray dog that you had no emotional attachment to, you may have called it Dog. But as soon as you care about this animal, you give it a name. Why? Because you care about it. This says to me that the Christian faith is not just for God so loved the world, for God so loved everyone. That's a big part of it, but it goes deeper than that. It's also for God so loved Kay, for God so loved Jason, for God so loved Jacob, and Ryan, and Aaron. For God so loved you enough that he knows you and he cares about you. In fact, he didn't just give you a name. He gave you a purpose, a specific purpose. He created you specifically. He knit you together piece by piece in your mother's womb for a purpose. And he knows everything about you. He's watched you since you were in the womb. Every second of every day, he knows everything about you. You're not hiding anything from him. He knows the number. You don't know this. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Well, if you're bald, then you know it, but it's easier for some people than for others. He knows everything there is to know about you. And he loves you that much. Enough that he knows you, not just by name, he knows you intimately. John 10 goes on like this. After the shepherd has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and he doesn't follow them. Jesus does not follow us. He gave us a purpose. He gave us a goal, and he said, walk toward it. And he led us in that direction. They follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from the stranger because they don't know his voice. John Ortberg, one of my favorite pastors, decided to test this theory of Jesus, and this is what happened.
So we're running a little experiment. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the experiment is, do sheep really know a shepherd's voice? And will they really respond? This is Leslie. She's a shepherdess. And I'm the false shepherd. And now we're going to see what happens. Come to me, sheep. Sheep, come. I'm your leader. Sheep. Come on, sheep. Why would you come? Is there something wrong with me? Hang on a second. Sheep, come. I love you. You stupid sheep, come on. Sheep, come here. Sheep, is there something? Apparently we got the remedial sheep. You stupid little sheep. Those sheep are hopeless. They will never come for anybody.
Come on, girls, let's go. Come on. Here we go. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's a good girl. Come on, Matthew. Very good.
Why do the sheep follow the voice of the shepherd? Because they trust the voice of the shepherd. They know where the voice of the shepherd is, there's safety. And there's probably food. There's something, the things that I want in life are where the shepherd is. So when I hear the shepherd's voice, I walk in that direction. I got a degree in marketing, and I felt like the entire time in all of our classes, the whole degree was just telling people, make your logo recognizable. Put yourself out there as much as you possibly can so that people recognize you. That your brand is everywhere, and they become, this is what we call name recognition. As they see it more often, they become more comfortable with it. We associate it with something that's just kind of the norm. This is what we do as sheep. We follow the crowd, and if this is the norm, then we're comfortable with it. We'll follow it. My son, Lincoln, at a very young age, figured this out. It just comes naturally. My son, everywhere he sees our logo, the little NL with the triangle above it, logo, the New Life logo, he yells, my church! We can be driving through town, and he will see this logo on the sticker on the back of one of your cars, and he will say, my church! I didn't teach him to say that. I never told him, this logo represents your church. We just have it posted all over around here. So when he sees this, he associates this logo to our church. So this logo, for him, represents something comfortable. We as Christians can use this. We as Christians can use this to attract people to Jesus. It sounds manipulative, but whatever it takes. I'll put a New Life sticker on the back of my car, and by doing so, I'm making people more comfortable. So when somebody comes up to somebody and says, hey, you should come to my church. Here's a business card with a New Life logo on it. Hey, you should come to my church, New Life. A hurdle has already been crossed. They're comfortable. They are drawn. They are familiar with this logo. We can use this. Continue on. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So if we're talking about following the voice of someone we can trust, Jesus doesn't just say, I am a shepherd. We're taking the metaphor even farther. Just like Jesus didn't say, I am a father, because that helps us we can relate to a father. Jesus is a father. The problem is it breaks down when we try to relate to the father. We're not just like Jesus. We can be like Jesus, but we can't be just like Jesus because Jesus is the perfect Father. Jesus is a heavenly Father. We can relate to him, but we can't be like him. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You can understand what it means to be a shepherd, but a perfect shepherd? A good shepherd? So this brings to mind, who do we decide to follow? Who do we allow to be our shepherd, the one who leads us. Because the whole world, you're getting preached hundreds of messages every single day. Businesses are preaching at you. Every logo on a t-shirt is a sermon. Be like this. Look like this. Buy our product. Every time you see a commercial, every time you see the logo on the back of a car or a bumper sticker, somebody's trying to sell you something because they want something from you. They're preaching to you. And Jesus says, I'm not just one of these preachers at you. I am the good one. I'm different. So we can choose to follow money or popularity or politics or whatever we want to choose, or we can choose the good shepherd. And why would we choose the good shepherd? Because the good shepherd lays down his life, sacrifices his life for the sheep. So while everybody else just wants something from you, and as soon as you can't offer that to them anymore, they abandon you, Jesus wants to offer you something. Jesus died for the lost, mindless, broken sheep. Verse 12, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. Like slimy salesmen, they may treat you like you're the most important person in the world when they want something from you. This is the way the world treats you. This is the way the sermons of marketing agencies treat you. They want you. They need you. You're important to them. You're valued by them until you don't have anything to offer to them, and then they run away. Or until you are a threat to them, and they will even actively fight against you. Jesus isn't like this. While you were in rebellion, while you were actively fighting against Jesus, he wanted you. Verse 13. The hired hands run away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about care, love, compassion, friendship, does not really care about the sheep. You can follow other wannabe shepherds for a while, but eventually they will fail you. You can follow money, you can put your hope in power, you can put your hope in popularity or a substance, a desire for a while, but eventually it will only lead you to pain. There is only one shepherd, the good shepherd, who can actually ever lead you to the place you were created to go. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. This is relationship we're looking at here. So I, because I know them, because I love them, sacrifice my life for the sheep. This is the difference between the other options of things that we can follow, the people that we can follow, and God. God's not in it for himself. God is in it for you because he loves you. He loves you unconditionally. Okay, I want to turn a corner here, and I want to talk to you about why I'm talking about sheep, because this message is supposed to be about how everybody's welcome. This is a come as you are message, right? So why are we talking about sheep? It's because we need to learn to recognize that we are all, not Christians are sheep. We are all sheep in need of a shepherd. We are all lost and broken. You see, people get nervous about coming to church. I hear this all the time. I wanted to go to church for years, but I was nervous. I was scared, and they were scared of us. They were scared. They assumed that Christians are some different kind of person. And so the fear is motivated by the fact that they've heard about people being judged by the church. The church caused that problem. They've heard about people that point fingers while the whole time they are hypocrites. They've heard about these judgmental people called Christians, and church just becomes scary. And it's for church, it's on the shoulders of churches like us to begin to recognize that we are all just sheep. We are all just sheep in need of a shepherd. So as the church, how do we use this information to figure out how to help people follow Jesus? Because up to this point, the church hasn't done a great job in my mind. We've scared a lot of people away by expecting people to be like us before they were one of us. To follow us before they followed Jesus. We've been hypocrites. We've been prejudiced. And the whole time we're sheep too. We're pointing fingers at people that are just like us. Maybe with slightly different backgrounds, with slightly different desires or temptations. But they're just like us. Okay, we're going to go really, really deep here. Get on your brain caps. I don't know what a brain cap is. Get on your thinking caps. We're going to go really deep. If Christians are people with beards. Are you ready? Christians are people with beards. Keep that in your mind. If Christians are people with beards were once people without beards. Oh, man. That's deep. In other words, we all started in the same place. We all went through the same phases in life. We all struggled in the same way. If you came in here thinking today you're sitting by somebody who is a better person than you, you're wrong. We're screwed up people. Like, New Life is jam-packed full of very screwed up people. You're looking at one. Like, we're screwed up. We all went through it. In the beard analogy, remember, Christians are people with beards. In the beard analogy, we all went through puberty. We saw that first peach fuzz pop through. We were so proud, and we colored it so it was darker. Okay, maybe that was just me. We were proud of our peach fuzz. Then mom started to say, it looks really dumb because it's all splotchy and everything, and so you need to shave it off. So we figured out how to shave, and we shaved off our peach fuzz and saved it in a baggie. Because we wanted to have beards. Okay, men. This analogy works for, well, maybe some women, but this analogy works best for men is the goal of this. You could also say that people with beards are just people without beards with beards. Boom! Preaching it. People with beards are just people without beards with beards. We don't stop being people just because we became Christians. We don't change into some spirit that is different. And I mean, we're different, but we're still people. If we grow beards, if we become Christians, and all the Calvinists in the rooms are like, and some people can't grow beards. Okay. This was too deep for you. So let me show you in a cartoon form. People with beards are just people who used to not have beards. Huh? See? This is like reminiscing about before. Creative. Which means that people without beard or people with beards are just people without beards with beards. My slide guy's behind. People with beards are just people without beards. With beards. I'll be honest with you, when I wrote this part of my message, I was cracking up in my office. All right, let's go back to the Bible. John 10 says, I have other sheep too. This is talking about outsiders. This is talking about people without beards. This is talking about people who are not followers of Christ. Jesus is extending the message of Christianity, in other words. They are not in the sheepfold. They're not one of us. They're outsiders. But Jesus is calling them his sheep. I have other sheep, but they're not one of us. He's talking about people who aren't Christians, who aren't Christ followers. In other words, you don't have to be a Christian for Jesus to love you. That really is deep and a little bit controversial. Sorry, Calvinists. You don't have to be a Christian for Jesus to love you. He loves the other sheep too. And what's his goal? I must bring them also. You were right. Yep. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This is our goal. This is our mission. Go into all the world and make disciples. Bring people to the shepherd so that they will follow him. And he's making a prediction. He's like, someday it's going to work. Your goal is to reach these people, and someday it's actually going to happen. Because people are going to hear about the good news. That there's a shepherd worth following. That there's a shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. Why wouldn't people follow it? He's predicting, he's going to say, people are going to listen to this message if you'll just go and tell them. That's good news. This is it. This is our mission, to draw people to the shepherd. Who are we to judge people who aren't one of us yet? Who are we to say, well, your beard isn't right? Everyone's welcome. Everyone is loved, inside and outside of the church. Everyone is welcome. When Jesus came to earth, he came to earth as a member of the Jewish nation, the Jews. Jesus was an Israelite. And the Israelite people were expecting a Messiah. And they were expecting a Messiah who would come to the Jews for the Jews. And then Jesus starts doing crazy stuff, like hanging out with sinners, hanging out with tax collectors, thieves. Jesus' followers expected him to be the idol of all the religious leaders, but Jesus spent his whole time on life fighting against the religious leaders. And Jesus spent his whole time saying, I came for everyone. I came for everyone. It does not matter. I came, if you are a Gentile, if you are a sinner, if you are an atheist, even if you're a Broncos fan, I came for you. And I love you, cat lovers. So Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. And, this is crazy, Jesus didn't just come for Christians. Jesus came for everyone. We have a tendency to expect people to act like Christians before they become Christians. But Jesus loved us even when we weren't Christians. So this also means that Jesus didn't die on the cross for Christians. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. And it is our job to introduce people to the shepherd who died for them. This is why New Life's twofold mission is this: to encourage people to come as they are and become who they were created to be. Twofold, two main verbs. Come and become. I think sometimes we may need to change this to then, because the order of this is important. Come as you are, then become who you were created to be. We believe there was a creator of this world, and he created you for a purpose, for a goal, to reach a goal. Come as you are, because it makes no sense for you to become who you were created to be without following the one who can teach you who you were created to be. For years, the church tried to put this in the opposite direction. We created these country clubs, and we said, if you want to be a Christian, you got to look like this, and you got to act like this, and you got to not do this thing, and not do this thing. Most of the things we even created weren't even biblical things. We just kind of made up these rules about what people had to do. And then if you did it, you could come in and be a part of our club. And we wondered why our churches became country clubs, and we wondered why the church became a place that people resisted or called people hypocrites, because we didn't do the things we said you can't do all the while. Ignoring all the things the Bible told us we can't do. And Jesus came to earth to throw that idea out of the water. I mean, like, forget that idea. Jesus came for the lost, for the broken, and the sinners. Mark 2 tells us all about it. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked him, his disciples, why does he eat with scum? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Verse 17. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Oh, that's good. This is it. This is the foundation of this whole message. Why does it matter that we're all sheep? It matters because of this. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. This week, I spent 7.5 hours in an emergency room. And I will tell you that I was very happy that there were doctors there who knew how to help my son. When my son's sick, I need to know that there is a place that I can take him that can help him, that has the antidote, that has the medicine that he needs. And it's kind of interesting when we got into the waiting room, we're sitting there and we're waiting, and our name, Lincoln's name, was like number 4 on the list, like you're waiting on the name to move up so that you get to go in and see a doctor. And people kept coming in who would bump Lincoln down the list because they prioritized based on how sick people were. So a lady comes in with stroke symptoms. Top of the list, get her back there. There are only 2 doctors in the emergency room. There's like 5 billion people waiting to see them. So then another person comes in, chest pains, boom, bump, top of the list, you're in. 5 hours later, we got back to see a doctor. And they run all their tests, and they do their stuff, and they give advice, and they help Lincoln. Because Lincoln's constipation, sorry, not as important. 6 days without pooping, what's the 7th? But eventually he gets back there and the doctor can take care of him. The church, the country club thing is just ridiculous. The church was created to be a hospital. We are a hospital for, it's worse than people that are sick. Because when we think about sick, we think of physical sickness. These bodies will die. They're going to go away. We're all going to get sick and die. That's just the reality. There were people in that emergency room that day that died. But when they died, what mattered was not the health of their bodies. When they died, which we all will, what mattered was the health of their spirits. Because I promise you, in this life, we will prioritize these bodies, but they're going away. They don't matter. What matters way more? Did we follow the Good Shepherd? Because I've been at a few deathbeds lately, and none of them sat there in their hospital gowns worrying about their bodies. Every one of them that I talked to was very worried about one thing, and it was their souls. Because it's really all that matters. So we're not just a hospital, we're the good hospital. Maybe that's a metaphor, but we're more than just a hospital. This is more important. So who are we to turn people away, to judge people, to reject people? That's not what hospitals do. And I hope that we don't make people wait in the waiting room for 5 hours. Hopefully we have more than 2 doctors who are around to help people. This is why it is so important. This is a little side note. This is why it's so important that our nurseries are open and not overly crowded. This is why a nursery worker is a minister of the gospel. Because we're not making people wait in the lobby for 5 hours. Because while I was in that emergency room, I saw 3 people who came in for one reason or another, and they got so tired of waiting that they left. I saw 3 people who got sick of waiting in the waiting room and they left the hospital. They decided that they would rather be sick, they'd rather deal with it on their own or just hope for the best than continue to waiting. God forbid that happens at the church. Because when we're dealing with bodies, that's bad. When we're dealing with souls, if somebody comes and leaves angry because of something, that's way worse. If somebody comes to drop their fourth grader at the fourth grader room and there's 32 kids in a little teeny tiny classroom and that's just all we got, that's not okay. This is why we value hospitality at New Life. This is why it's so important. Because Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners. New Life has got to be a hospital for sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, while we were still sheep searching for a shepherd. While you were actively fighting against Jesus, while you were an atheist, while you were whatever you were doing, however you were rebelling against him, then, even then, he loved you unconditionally. He doesn't have to just, we don't have to become a Christian in order for to love us to love, God to love us. God loves us even before we go to church. In fact, God loves people who actively fight against his church. God loves everyone. Because we didn't earn our salvation in the first place, we have not earned the ability to judge people because of how good we are. And when we surrender to the shepherd, when we finally decide to follow the good shepherd, then we start to learn his voice. We start to recognize his voice. And this is the cool part. This is the becoming who you are meant to be, created to be part. As we start to pray, as we start to read his word, as we start to join a small group of other Christians who can help us to understand what it means to follow Christ, who can help to understand what we were created to be, then we start to learn his voice. And it starts to become familiar. And we adopt him as our shepherd. And let me say this to you. If you are one of those people who came in here today, and you feel like you are one of the everybody, and you feel like you're just not good enough yet, and you still feel like a little bit like you can do something to earn your salvation, it does not matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what color skin you have. It doesn't matter what family you were born into, how much money you have, what kind of house you live in. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if you've been divorced. It doesn't matter if you've had an abortion. It doesn't matter if you've cheated on your spouse. It doesn't matter if you've been in prison. Because the things that I just now listed, I just described to you our church board. We're all sheep in need of a shepherd. We are all in need of a shepherd. Just like you. Would you follow the good shepherd? Because he loves you right where you are. God, today, I thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of this mission of following the good shepherd, of becoming who we were created to be. Help us to do it better. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.